everybody, and welcome to Good Luck High Five, episode 436.
That's right, you're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you are super excited to get back to an FNM, or you're happy sitting at home jamming Arena, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we are talking about mechanics.
That's right, not mechanics that you take your car to, although I do always honestly need some tips on those. But no, we're going to look back at the mechanics that we have played since we started in Magic, and we're going to think about what makes a good mechanic.
Yeah, what makes it work?
Yes.
What makes it popular?
What makes it memorable? What makes it great for a format?
Yeah, and what makes it a real stinker if it doesn't work out?
Because there have been some that you're just like, we were going back, we're like, that was a thing?
That existed. Or
that happened?
Forgettable, honestly.
Yes,
you know?
Just wildly forgettable.
Yeah.
So all of that and more coming at you this episode.
So yeah, it is a bit like an episode of Car Talk, because we're talking about mechanics, so don't draft like my brother.
You know, don't draft like my brother.
We've been called the Click and Clack of Magic Podcasts. Oh,
which is just my favorite.
It's such a high honor, honestly.
It really, truly is.
But yeah, lots and lots of mechanic talk. Very excited for this. Also excited to tell you about our patron-only tournament that's coming up on the 19th of June.
That's right. It is so exciting. It's going to be 100 card standard.
Nice.
So not singleton. You can still have four copies of something. And people have asked about the ban list and stuff like that. We're still working out those things. Once we actually get the tournament up on Melee, we'll make sure that it comes with a ban list and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be a great time.
It was so fun. Our last tournament, we want you to be here for this one. So if you can, become a patron over at patreon.com/glhfmagic. Any amount of patronage gets you into our tournament.
That's right. It's a free tournament. It's where you can win prizes.
Free and prizes. So the EV is through the roof.
Through the stinking roof.
And that's what Magic players care about.
That's right. Also, we're recording this episode on Wednesday because I'm heading out camping for the long weekend.
Yeah.
So if you became a patron in the last couple of days, don't worry. You'll get your shout out next episode.
Yeah, let's get a lot of new patrons so we can have a huge, super cool shout out on episode 347.
Yes.
And hopefully two people have the same name.
Yes, that's what we're really going for here, is two patrons with the same name.
That's what's important to us.
Yes.
But please, thank you for helping us exist in the world, patrons. It's because of you.
It's also because of our other sponsor, Card Kingdom. CardKingdom.com/GLHF, the perfect place to go for all of your Magic needs.
Yeah, if you have friends who are new to the game, and honestly, I think Magic right now is growing bigger than ever before.
Yes.
Thanks to the pandemic and people, you know, staying in and playing more board games, that kind of thing. But also the popularity just seems to be exploding.
What better way to get your friend who is reluctant about Magic when they shouldn't be into Magic, then getting them some sweet stuff from Card Kingdom. Get them some boosters, get them a little deck box keep their cards in. They're going to be hooked before you know it.
And honestly, we've bought their decks that are just single color beginner decks.
Yes.
That are super easy to play with. That's how Meg and I learned to play with single color decks.
Yes.
And Card Kingdom has constructed them for you. You don't have to do any of the work. Yep. You just got to give them, like, honestly, how much are they? Like $5?
They're not even dollars.
So, like, they've got everything. I love their pre-constructed program. They've got the cool beginner decks, and then they've got pre-constructed decks that are just themed around cool things like plus one counters, the graveyard, whatever you're into. Card Kingdom has it.
That's right.
All right, let's turn on that engine and hear a weird sound, because we're going to diagnose what's a good mechanic, what's a bad mechanic, and what are some of our favorites and least favorite from the from the past few years.
So, Maria, what are some of your most memorable favorite mechanics?
I mean, of course, the first one that jumps to my mind is Hexproof.
All right, Maria, you're banned from this conversation. I guess this rest of this episode's just going
to
be me.
Well, you know, I had to say it. Yeah. I think that, honestly, if you're thinking about mechanics, I think Hexproof is probably the number one most talked about mechanic.
Wow.
Because I think it's the most universally hated.
It's pretty hated.
People do not like it for reasons that are pretty obvious. Uninteractive. You can't do anything about it. You just got to sit there and then die.
Also,
you know?
It comes at the intersection of, like, what's a mechanic and what's a keyword.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Which I never know.
I mean, it's a muddy sort of water situation.
It's a muddy stream, because some stuff, like Scry, Yeah. Started out as a mechanic for a set Theros.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, this is forever now.
This is evergreen. Yep. This goes on into infinity.
Forever. Hexproof is going to die.
Hexproof, though, not going on into infinity forever.
They have decided no.
Because, I mean, like, it's such not a negative reaction. Yes. But what is interesting about it is how they've been iterating on it over the past few years. It started out as something called Shroud. It changed into Hexproof. It changed into protection from green, black, white, whatever. Yeah. And now it's changed into Ward.
That's right. So Ward is like a nice little twist on it where it's like, it's kind of.
Sort of sometimes.
Hexproof.
I mean, I think
you
Ward is.
You can pay more to make it not.
It's such a great compromise.
Yeah.
You know, what I call the great compromise. In Magic the Gathering. But let's be real. What is my actual... I mean, that is my most memorable one. What is my actual most favorite one? It's the answer I give all the time, which is Unleash.
Ooh, yes. You love Unleash.
Well, it's tied to a few specific factors for me. Nostalgia, of course.
Yeah.
Which is such a strong force in Magic the Gathering. It's in the first set we ever played in 2012, which is Return to Ravnica. It's very simple and easy to understand. You can choose to put a +1/+1 counter on your creature with Unleash as it enters the battlefield. And if you do, it can't block.
Yeah.
But it's bigger.
Straightforward.
And in Rakdos, which is where the mechanic lived, you didn't want to block anyway. You just want to smash face.
Yeah.
So I loved it. Simple, straightforward. It was emblematic of the play style. So it told you what to do when you were trying to draft. You're like, oh, I do this and I attack. That's what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's great.
So it taught me the guild. And also I got to deal a lot of damage. So
so for you, it's like very, it plays into your particular favorite style of play.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, one of the more simple mechanics.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's legit.
What's your all-time favorite?
Oh, that's so hard. I think that my, oh my goodness, I'm going to sneeze.
Everybody, hold on. It's happening.
Okay. No.
Nope, just kidding.
All right, made it through.
False.
It's so hard, but I think it's probably Morph / Foretell.
Yeah, I thought that's probably what you were going to say.
I think that, like, it's so hard for me to, if you were like, you must pick between Morph and Foretell, I'd be like, no, don't make me.
Megan, you must.
No, I don't want to. I would probably pick Foretell, I think, because it's
spell
a little
oriented.
Bit more. It's one, it's spell oriented, but there were creatures with Foretell on them.
Yeah, that's true.
They just aren't on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I think it works. It's like a little nice, like two is a nicer place to have that mitigation of like screw and flood than three is.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I feel like two is really the place where if you get stuck on two, that's the spot where you're saying,
yeah,
I'm mana screwed.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of the biggest things, is it helps you when you're mana screwed. Like, it's going to help you smooth. It keeps games smoother.
Yes.
It keeps games from ending in a situation where it's like one person only had three lands ever. And like, okay, they just died. They couldn't do anything.
So let's talk about what makes a good mechanic. This is bullet point number one, I think.
Yes.
For sure.
It's like it just smooths the game.
It makes more non-games not happen.
Yes. So more games.
This is so strange, negative filled sentence. Yeah, it makes more actual games of Magic occur, which is something I think they've been more focused on recently, that their mechanics will support this goal.
Yeah.
Because that's, of course, the worst part about Magic is when you just can't play, right?
If you can't play, you're just like, this is a real bummer.
Yeah, what am I going to do? So. Yeah. I think mechanics that exemplify this for sure are Morph and Foretell, because Morph lets you just pay three mana, put the creature face down on the battlefield, flip it up for its Morph cost once you can pay that. So
and it's a 2/2 while it's face down.
Yeah, it's a 2/2. So it's just a little creature that you can play if you can't afford the bigger version, or you want to build your board early in the game. Foretell, same thing. Allrun's Epiphany will come back later to bite everyone in the butt.
Like, if you're like stuck on two, Sorolf's Packmate.
Yep.
Play it face down. Perfect. You're able to flip it up and draw a card. Enter the Multiverse.
Exactly.
Same thing. And, you know, this one we haven't talked about yet, but modal double-faced cards.
Yes.
One of the most popular mechanics, I would argue, of the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Again, same reason, because especially we were introduced to them with the ones that are spells on one side but lands on the other.
Yeah.
And so it's a situation where it's like, oh, this counts as a land in your deck. So if you need to play a land, You got it.
You can play a land.
But also, if you draw it on turn 7 and you have 6 lands in play, maybe you don't want a land and you want the spell on the other side.
It's so cool. Because modal double face cards were supposed to be, I think, one set specific.
To Strixhaven.
But then they're like, no, let's expand these out. And thank goodness.
This is too good.
It was so good. We needed more of it.
Yeah. And I think they were right.
I think it should be evergreen going forward.
Yes.
I think it should join Scry.
I agree. I wouldn't mind if we skipped a set here and there that didn't have them.
Yeah.
Just to keep it a little bit fresher. But like, if it was just like we had this year of modal double face cards and then they're like, you're not going to see them for 3 years. I'd be like, no, why would you do that?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. They make the game better.
So let's talk quickly about other mechanics that also live under this umbrella of making more non-games not happen, as I so eloquently put. Another favorite one, we've mentioned Scry.
Yeah, Scry. Ooh, love Scry. I can't believe that there was once a time when Scry didn't exist.
Scry, look at it. Put it in the graveyard. I mean, put it on the bottom of your deck. I'm thinking top. Of Surveil.
Surveil. And it goes right up there with Scry.
Surveil and Scry, they're cousins.
Yeah.
Or draw it. Great.
Yeah, exactly. Adventure.
Adventure.
Great. Sometimes you need that spell early, but sometimes you're just like, oh no, I don't have time to cast this spell. I just need to get this creature onto the battlefield right now.
Beautiful. Flexibility.
Great.
Do you need to kill something with chop down? And then, or do you want to tap something with giant killer?
Yes, you know? Exactly. Are you going to stomp something?
Stomp.
You're always going to stomp something.
Answer. Honestly. Yes.
Yes. You will stomp.
You will stomp. Or do you want Bone Crusher Giant? You want both, but you know what we're saying.
Beanstalk Giant?
Yeah.
3 mana, get yourself a land.
Later on in the game, you play a big 11-11.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And it's a big problem.
And it's a huge problem.
He a big problem.
Another mechanic that a lot of people love that lives under this umbrella, too, is Investigate.
Oh, gosh, I love Investigate.
Megan, what was Investigate?
Investigate was where if somebody told you to investigate, you made a little clue token. And the clues, you could pay 2 mana and sacrifice them, and you drew a card.
Great.
Oh, I loved clues.
Clues were so great.
Give me card draw.
Everybody loved them. The key clue card I'm going to call out, well, there was a couple, but you know, my favorite was Thraben Inspector.
Oh, everybody loved Thraben Inspector.
Because it was a simple 1 mana creature.
Yep.
It was a 1/2, comes down, investigates.
And usually you'd be like, I would never play this card. A 1/2?
Yeah, a 1/2 for 1 mana.
You will never play in draft.
And it's in white, the worst color.
But you would play Thraben Inspector all day in draft in that
all
format.
All day. As many as you could get, probably.
Investigate all day.
Yeah.
The rare of it, Tireless Tracker.
Tireless Tracker. Ooh. That one was in standard. Made a mark.
What a good card.
Yeah.
What a card.
And it helped you out for the same reason. If you're stuck on mana, you play it on turn one, you crack it on turn 2, hopefully draw your land, whatever you want.
Maria, several listeners are shouting at us right now.
Okay.
I can hear the echoes from the future of them shouting at us that we have not yet in this category mentioned cycling.
All right, cycling.
Everyone's just like, everyone is
we
out
got
there
you.
Like, say cycling.
We got you.
One of people's favorite mechanics of all
time. Yes, it's so great.
There have been pros who have been like, every card should have cycling too.
You know what? What would that world be like? I think it would.
I don't know.
Certainly more non-games would not happen.
Exactly.
But would we get too complex?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I kind of think that I want to try it, actually.
Right?
I wish there was a way to to build it on Arena to test it out.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have to try it in paper sometime. We can make a little video of
every card has cycling too. I love that idea.
Cycling, again, like you said, it's just like, it's so great. Sometimes you have a 6 mana spell and you're so happy to draw it.
Yep.
Like, perfect. And sometimes you've only had 3 lands in play for 5 turns and you're like, this is awful.
Yep.
Guess what? You're not going to be heartbroken to draw your 6 mana card. You're just going to be like, thank goodness, just cycle it away.
And honestly, even if you just draw another land when you didn't want to or whatever, at least you did something.
Yes.
At least your life meant something for a brief moment when you played that card.
So, yeah, I mean, these are just like, we've named some of the all-timers.
All-time greats.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And so it kind of begs the question, is what makes an all-time great mechanic the fact that it makes more non-games.
Non-happen. You know what? For sure. For sure. I think it may be, at this point, the most important part of any mechanic that they iterate on for the future of Magic.
Yeah.
What they do in the future, they've explored so much design space around this already. Yeah. And I think it feels like they have a commitment to doing it in most sets.
Yeah.
What will they design next?
Who knows?
Oh, man.
Who knows? And now they have like a, they also now have like a ton of them that they can return to.
Yes, that's cool. True. That's true. I'm trying to design a new one right now in my head.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It involves.
I'm interested.
Okay. It's called Panic Button, or Panic Room, starring Jodie Foster.
I really like mechanic name Panic Room, starring Jodie Foster.
Yeah, it's kind of long, but yeah, you know, no, people will get used to it. So, what happens if your creature will have Panic Room, and what you can do is you can put a 2/-1/-1 counters on it, give it -2/-2 until end of turn, to shuffle your to go look for a land, put it onto the battlefield.
Oh, wow.
Tap. This is way too good. This is busted.
I mean, it might kill your creature.
Oh, yeah. That's the point. I want it to kill the creature or have it be, have a big drawback.
Yeah.
Or put it in your hand, maybe. You have to put it in your hand.
Okay.
And shuffle.
Or what if you have to sacrifice the creature?
Yeah. That's, you could. You certainly could.
Just full on real time kill
it. And you can only do it one time a turn. There. Yeah. We fixed it.
All right.
Panic Room, starring Jodie Foster. Feel free to use that.
Wizards, contact us.
Give us a call. Let's talk about the other things that make mechanics all-stars, though.
Yes.
I think these ones we've mentioned, besides helping more non-games not happen, is that they're good in development and late.
Yeah.
So there's something magic that's called quadrant theory, which you talk about on this show. They talk about unlimited resources, where it's like there's four quadrants in a game. One is development, one is parity, one is where you're winning, and one is to like close out or end the game. I think those are the four. Mm-hmm. But basically, is your mechanic good when you're starting out, and is it good when you're trying to win?
Yeah.
You know, or any point in between, like breaking parity so that you can move ahead.
Yes. I think that a great example of this is learn.
Yes.
Because there are so many great lessons
yep.
that work for any part of the game. Like, we've talked so much about Intro to Environmental Sciences because that so card good. Is amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. I always want one.
Yep, 100%.
Because it's like such a relief sometimes to keep an opening hand that has 5 spells and 2 lands because you're like, I'm just going to be able to go grab this this lesson.
Absolutely. And it costs 2 mana, which is, you know, exactly. once again, the magic number.
Of being like 2 to 3 is the real difference between like, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't do anything.
Yep.
And I can at least do something to try and get this game to last long enough to win.
Absolutely.
It.
Great example.
Yeah. And again, like then later on, like if it's turn 7, you're not going to get environmental sciences. You're going to go get, you know, like your one of your elemental summonings or right. something like that. You'll
or
go
even
get a
draw,
creature.
Or draw and discard. Discard, draw.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who cares?
Great. It's great all the time.
All the time, which yes. it can also be said of Investigate, can be said of Adventure, can be said yeah. of Morph Foretell. All of the ones we already mentioned, yeah. for sure. Explore is another one in that category.
Yes, we haven't really touched on Explore much.
Yeah.
But I do think that it also is one that helps with Mana Screw.
Yep.
Because it literally is like, here's
is
a
land,
put it in your hand.
Put it in your hand to look at the top.
Exactly. But yeah, and it's nice later on in the game.
Yep.
Like late, it's like, oh, hey, congratulations. You're not going to draw that land next
that
turn.
That land goes right into the graveyard.
Ooh. No, it goes into your hand.
Oh, sorry.
And then the spell, if it's
you're
a
right.
spell, you can choose to keep it on
choose.
Top or put it in your graveyard.
Wow.
It's a great mechanic.
Explore.
Gosh, I can't believe that we haven't talked about it sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Explore is really nice.
Another thing I have on this list is what I called grok ability, because it's a fun word. You have to be able to understand what it does.
Yeah.
And it's got to be easy. And honestly, not too far in the past, Wizards has printed mechanics that were not very grokable.
Ooh,
here's
boy.
An example of one.
Storm.
Now there's many. I think a banding is the most notable offender.
It's like the one that everyone talks
about.
Just like, what?
Nobody knows what banding is. There is at a GP, I did this thing where I had people spin this wheel and they had to do whatever was on the wheel. And it was like, crack a pack, talk about your favorite bad beat story. And one of the categories was explain banding. And I did this with Reed Duke at a GP and spun and he landed on explain banding. And it was like the look in his eyes. It was like the life died for a second. And then he was, you know, like you could see it filling back up. And he was like, okay. And then he proceeded to explain it. But Even he needed a second because banding is incomprehensible.
I would say that it's like the ruling. I know, you know, you can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
Yep, exactly. The ruling. That's what we'll call it.
I'm not going to say what it was a ruling about.
Great.
The ruling about banding. I know it when I see it.
Megan, can you look up the text on banding just for our lovely listeners to hear this word soup that existed many, many years ago? So don't worry, everybody. Banding's gone forever. It's never coming back. It can't hurt you.
Oh, okay.
You can't go down the drain.
Okay, cards that...
Okay, a card with banding. Oh, those are cards that grant banding. That's even weirder.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Banalish Hero, single white, creature, human soldier, 1/1, banding. Any creatures with banding and up to one without can attack in a band. Bands are blocked as a group. If any creatures with banding you control are blocking or being blocked by a creature, you divide that creature's combat damage, not its controller, among any of the creatures it's being blocked by or is blocking. I get it when you say it that long. But think of all the words I just used to explain one mechanic.
It's very strange.
Wild.
Basically, it's like you block and then you assign combat damage. Yeah,
which is pretty cool, actually.
It's like Hearthstone.
Yeah, like you get to decide if you block with two creatures together.
Yeah.
And like you're blocking with a, you know, like a 3-3 and a 2-2.
Yeah.
And they have a 4-4. You can be like, well, I'm going to assign, you know, assign it.
Two and two?
Yeah.
Three.
So like you can kill one. The 2-2 instead of the 3-3.
Yeah.
Which they would prefer to kill the 3-3.
Correct.
All right.
There's banning for you anyway.
Woo!
One of the most notorious offenders, but one that was kind of more recent for us, which we just remembered, is Cypher.
Cypher. Oh, like Maria was like, do you remember Cypher? And I was like, not really.
Yeah, I recall people not drafting cards with Cypher because they didn't want to deal with it.
Exactly. Also, it was like, it was not good enough.
No.
It was not good enough in this format. It was just, okay, here's an example. Whispering Madness, 2 blue-black sorcery. Each player discards their hand, then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards a player discarded this way. Cypher, then you may exile the spell card encoded on a creature you control. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player, its controller may cast a copy of the encoded card without paying its mana cost.
Okay, yeah.
So you got okay, it's on this creature. If this creature hits you, I get to do this thing again.
Cast it again.
But it just, mostly I just remember encoded in the format.
Encoded on a creature encoded you can on,
like,
control?
You can't
what
even.
What does that mean?
Exactly. They were like, we're going to just use encoded as though that intrinsically means something in the world of magic already.
Encoded, like, no.
Like, it does mean something in the world, but in the world of magic, you can't just like throw that word around and
you
be
can
like,
just
we
say,
all know.
Then you may exile this, staple it to a creature you control.
Staple it? I wish that they had just been like, it's stapled to a creature you control.
There you go. Use a command strip. Connect these two.
Boop.
Boop.
Oh, and it, like I said, it just, in that format, it wasn't good.
And it wasn't good.
They could just block that creature.
Who cares?
No one cared.
Cypher, get out of here.
The answer is no one cared.
Flavorful with the way that it plays.
Oh.
This is huge for me.
We love Sagas.
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 Number one. That's what I should have said.
Tops.
I mean, I know Unleash is really my number one, but Sagas are also my number one.
Like, I can't even.
There are no words to
how
much
express I like Sagas.
How good Sagas are.
They're amazing.
Thank you, Richard
They're
Garfield.
So good. They also, this touches on one of the other things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But they were so, they're so inventive.
Yes.
Sagas were like, do you know what? I'm going to take everything that you knew about magic, break it in half.
Yes, I love it.
And just be like,
is what Magic was designed to do as a game in the first place.
Always be innovating.
Like, Garfield, praise be, was like, I want to make a game that the people who play the game make the rules of the game.
Yeah.
Which sometimes I forget about when I'm playing Magic, you know? But what his idea was that you invent the game, essentially, with whatever you put in your deck, right? And you say, now this creature can't be blocked because of the rules I have created in this game. Or this creature now has flying, or this creature, you know, whatever, kills this creature. I invented that rule. All humans have +1/+1 on my side of the battlefield. Yes. And so it comes as no surprise that Garfield is behind the Saga design, came on for Dominaria.
So cool.
And they are so inventive and so flavorful. Ugh. They are telling the story of Magic's first set.
Yeah.
You know, chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. They fire off, you're reading the book, and something new happens in every chapter.
Oh, it's like, they're so flavorful. Like, it was in Dominaria, and it just gave people ways to learn about what had happened in Dominaria.
That too.
It's like instant potatoes, except instant backstory for a plane.
Right? Great.
Just add water, you have backstory. Just add Saga.
Absolutely. Right?
You got all of the history of, like, Kaldheim. It's just like, oh yeah, back in the day, like, the elves on their plane, like, bound these old gods that they didn't like anymore. Like, we would have never known that, except that you made this saga about it.
Makes
sense.
Now we know. Yeah.
It's so cool.
They're great on every single level, including the addition of vertical art to Magic cards.
To Magic.
Which is also great. Like, look at these banners behind us. I mean, they're not sagas, but they could
be. They're so good. Yeah.
Because that's how it works. So flavorful. Let's think what else has a lot of flavor in here. I think Madness is...
Madness, especially because they not introduced it, but they brought it back in Innistrad.
Yes.
Return to Innistrad. Which is when...
Shadows over Innistrad?
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Thank you. I was like, what am I trying to say? Spooky Moon. Is what we're trying to say.
Eldritch Moon.
Yes.
Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon, when everybody was like going crazy.
Yeah.
The angels are having madness.
The angels were just killing
everybody. And Emrakul's influence on the plane was like twisting and warping everything. Oh, in that set, I loved that they brought it back. It was so cool when everyone was like, oh, it's madness because there's madness there.
Because your sanity is your deck.
Yeah.
And hand. And so you're slowly losing your sanity,
like, losing it,
as you discard
it away
and getting some wild benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that falls in the flavorful category. Adventure for sure.
Yes. Oh, so fun.
It's like a storybook adventure.
Yes.
For Throne of Eldraine.
You're going on one.
Investigative course.
Yep.
Which is in that same.
Because they were going. Looking
Shadows
for clues.
Over Innistrad. And remember, we were all like,
learn?
Who's behind it? Yeah, learn, of course, learn.
Just literally.
Yeah.
You're in school. Learn. Evolve.
Yes. I love Evolve. It's so simple and it makes 100% sense. Anybody starting playing Magic would be like, yeah, I get that.
Yes.
It's evolved.
Exactly. It's evolving. Put a counter on it.
Cool. I think Mutate fits in this category.
Yeah. We haven't really touched on Mutate. It's like...
I liked Mutate a lot.
I did like Mutate. It was pretty cool.
I wish that... this is impossible, but I wish that it could have changed the art on the card to be a combination of the two creatures, 3, 4, 5. But of course, that can't happen.
Which is what we kind of had with the Unset.
Oh, yeah!
Where you put them on and made like
half
a...
Half cat, half bat.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
Half horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that... But, you know, that's, I just imagine in my head.
Yeah. Oh, man, we haven't talked about Bestow.
Bestow.
We really loved
Bestow.
We
love Bestow.
Because, like, for me, Mutate, I do like, but in my mind, I was like,
you like Bestow.
I like Bestow better, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think just because in Bestow my mind, it was like.
Actually kind of better. Like,
it was just more straightforward.
Yeah.
Going back to the does it make sense?
Yeah, that's true. Mutate was not very high on does it make sense.
No, it was a little bit of a nightmare in terms of does it make sense. And Bestow also had the cool thing, right? Mutate, if it gets killed, you lose the whole creature.
Right.
which is kind of punishing you for doing what it wants you to do.
Correct.
Whereas bestow is like, oh, you get the benefit of, if they kill the thing, you get the bestow creature
anyway.
So you're getting rewarded for doing what it wants you to do.
Yeah.
As opposed to getting punished for it.
Bestow.
Yeah.
And Theros. Bestow, one of our favorites for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point about mutate. And I think I've heard judges say that they're super glad. Well, in a way that they'd never had to deal with mutate.
In-person
tournament.
Boy.
Because there's some weird stuff that can happen with it. If you heard our Judge Rob show about Ikoria.
Yeah.
Mutate. Weird. Very strange.
Which I think is it's interesting to talk about too. We haven't really touched on this and we don't have it on the list, but of like, I'm trying to think of like, mutate is a good example that comes to mind of mechanics that weren't quite there because you got punished. Like they didn't reward you for doing it enough.
Oh, so that they weren't quite good enough, as in they didn't give you enough of a benefit?
Like, right, like in my mind, mutate's in there because it's like, oh, if you mutate a bunch, you're going to get those benefits. But also if you mutate a bunch and they remove your creature, you lose the whole thing. You lose 2 or 3 cards worth of stuff.
Right. So it makes a good decision point.
Yes.
Because you have to decide if you want to mutate or just play it as a creature. However, if you don't do that and you put all your eggs in one basket, then you're punished.
You might get punished
for doing the mechanic too much. Which is the opposite of energy.
Yes.
Which I put on kind of the failure list.
Yeah.
Because it really broke standard for a long time.
Ugh.
It was a real, real pain.
It really was.
And the issue was, it was an alternative mana resource that to generate was no drawback whatsoever. Yeah. And then to use was really good.
Yes.
So there was no downside, right?
It was just...
So maybe there's got to be some kind of downside or whatever, but because energy had none, literal none. And you just played a card that literally, it said, you gain 3 energy.
Yeah.
Get a land or whatever.
Exactly. Yes.
And then we had to ban that card.
They banned it in standard.
Which is kind of just unbelievable. Attune
with ether.
Great. Yeah. So like that's one side where the mechanic just runs away and is too good on all metrics, and mutate, which maybe was a little too punishing for wanting you to actually do the thing that the set is about.
Yeah.
Potentially. Interesting. I put new and exciting and inventive on this list because I want to for sure mention sagas.
Oh, they're just tops in that category.
I think vehicles fit under this category.
Yes, vehicles were absolutely.
Which I think you say call crew or whatever you want.
Yeah.
But
introduced something completely new to the game.
Totally new, totally different with Kaladesh. Cool. I remember we were at PAX West when they introduced this, and they had a panel and they put up a picture of a vehicle and they said that they iterated on vehicles like countless times and were wrong so many times about how it was going to work and finally landed on what we see today. Yep. But I was so excited. I was sitting out there in the audience and I was like, oh, vehicles are so cool. And I still feel that way.
And we get to see them. Those have become basically evergreen.
Yes.
Where they don't necessarily need to be a mechanic of the set, but we'll see a couple of them.
Exactly.
Which is pretty cool. Which also touches on replayable in future sets.
Yes.
Of like, is a good mechanic something that you can replay later?
Yeah, which is like kind of at odds with flavor, because something like Learn, maybe you think, oh, well, that won't fit in set X because it's not involving a school setting or whatever.
You can always be learning.
But I don't know.
You can always learn.
I think you can kind of bend the rules. I guess mutate would be maybe a weirder one.
Yeah. Explore
would be a little strange.
Yeah.
Like I could see it every so often, but something like cycling, of course, something like flashback.
Eternal.
They can fit with anything.
You can do it forever.
Forever. Kicker.
Oh, we haven't talked about kicker yet.
Kicker.
I could hear the screams echoing from the future again. People being like, what about kicker?
Well, kicker, good early, good late.
Great.
Hello, Gnarled pack.
So good.
Do you want a 2/2?
Yep. Good early, good late.
You want a
helps with mana screw?
Yep.
Cast the cheap part.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense. Like, just be like, hey, do you know what? You can cast this spell. Pay more mana.
Yep.
You cast it bigger.
You did it.
Great job.
Straightforward.
Yes. So cool.
Good and limited and constructed. This is very tough.
Ooh, yeah. A lot of times we see such a sharp divide.
Yeah.
I think that Learn is kind of a good example here, where maybe we're going to start seeing more once other sets rotate out. But right now, Learn has not quite been powerful enough.
No, it hasn't broken
to make a real big impact.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I hope we see more Learn once we get Throne of Eldraine seeing itself out the back door. Don't let it hit you on the butt on the way out. But
goodbye.
Good riddance. I hope we see more Learn because Learn is so cool.
Yes. Absolutely. I think this is another great place to talk about sagas.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you loved some of those, like, all the sagas. You could play commons and uncommons. If you got a rare one, great. And then there were some, like, rare ones. The Acroan War, we still see it all the time.
That's true.
Remember, what's the one that I'm thinking of? Four and a black, your opponent sacrifices a creature.
Yeah, discards. You see that in the cube on Arena.
Yeah, you see it in cube. And also, it saw some play in standard
That's
decks
true.
At the time.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Like it's been good enough.
That's a great crossover one. Investigate was a crossover mechanic for sure.
Good crossover mechanic.
Adventure, as we know, with Bone Crusher Giant.
Big time.
Big time.
Foretell.
Yep.
Huge.
Foretell. Yep. Great.
You play it in every format.
Every format.
I'll play Foretell in every format. I love it.
Oh, this is a flavor mechanic. I almost forgot to mention Ninjutsu.
Oh yeah.
A+ on flavor.
Yeah.
You
for sure.
Sneak it out onto the battlefield. Ching! Deal damage. Unblocked. Yeah.
One that people still remember. You know what? I want to go back for a second. When we were talking about, like, you don't get punished. Like, there's no drawback to it.
Yeah.
Food. Oh. While we're talking about Eldraine.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
There's just, like, food is, like, such a complicated subject.
I mean, do you remember us talking about food when it first appeared?
It looked boring. We were like, what is this?
Bored.
Who cares?
I remember that.
Yeah, I also remember
that. And I was also
obviously.
Like, it's an artifact? Weird.
Yes.
I don't eat a piece of metal.
And I will say something. It was a lot more fun and interesting
than I anticipated. Yes, I'll give it that.
But also, it was too much.
Yeah, I think so.
The games went on forever.
They went on too long.
They went on years.
Years and years.
People are still playing some Throne of Eldraine drafts that they started when it was the set that had just come out.
And of course, fed into the cat oven combo, which beloved by some, hated by more. Let's call it that.
Absolutely. I'm just like being able to crack it. Three life is so much life.
It's a lot of life. When you have 20.
Three is a huge amount of life. And the fact that it was just something like, I just remember there were games when I was like, I should have won this, except I'm going to get decked before I can because my opponent can just keep gaining life.
Yeah, and that is not okay.
That's not a game that you want to play.
And that is not the intention, I would say, of the designers.
Yeah, for sure. They wanted you to do the cool stuff with it, right? Like Savvy Hunter.
Yeah.
Get some cards. I loved those like smaller interactions of food,
which was
so cool.
Tempting Witch.
Oh, yeah. Tempting Witch, where you could sack it instead and drain your opponent.
Yep.
Oh, great iteration of food.
Great.
But like overall, paying 2 mana and cracking an artifact that was just like a bonus anyways.
Let's fix food for a second.
As we were talking, I thought to myself, if it was only 2 life, would that have solved it?
I was even going to go down to 1.
Yeah. I feel like if you were going to go 1, it might have to cost one to crack. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good because what we're doing here is we're making it work better with the cards that making it more flavorful and fun, right? You want to do the Tempting Witch thing with it. Great.
Yes. And so you keep it off. Like Tempting Witch wouldn't be sack it, drain them one. It would stay sack it, drain them two.
Whatever.
Or 3 or something like that. So that you want to do the cool stuff with it as opposed to
doing the nonsense.
Just not dying.
Yep, just not dying.
And that's like not to say that like, right, like sometimes you were like, you were the person who didn't die because you had 15 food tokens out and they just couldn't do it.
We've benefited from the system.
But like, did you like it?
No.
It wasn't as fun.
No, that's a great point. All right, we fixed food.
All right. 1 mana, crack it.
We invented Panic Room starring Jodie Foster for the next set. Just put that on there.
An iconic mechanic, if ever there will be one.
Oh, on our list of bad mechanics, we've talked about Scavenge. We've dragged that mechanic enough on this show.
We've dragged that mechanic so many times. Scavenge, why was it so bad?
Sorry, Scavenge, you were like, just really bad.
It was, right? And like, you look at it on the surface and you're like, what make Scavenge was Golgari in Return to Ravnica. And it was like a creature with Scavenge. When it was in your graveyard, you could pay an amount of mana and put counters on a creature on the that you controlled equal to that creature's power.
I mean, first of all, who cares? Like,
or maybe it was even just like Scavenge 3, like you exiled that creature and you got three counters on something.
I can't remember, but that's the point. Like, one, we can't remember it.
Yes.
Two, what exactly are you supposed to be are you meant to be doing? Are you digging around in the graveyard and like gaining energy from its weird greasy bones and putting them on your creature?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you feeding it its old dead flesh and that's why it's growing bigger? So it makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Furthermore, you need a creature for it to do literal anything.
Yeah. But even then, all you did was you spent usually kind of a lot of mana to just make something bigger. And then they're just
doesn't have trample, or they
just kill it. They just block it.
Yeah. And so I think we can identify from our list why Scavenge wasn't successful, because it's failed like several of our metrics. Yes. Good at any point of the game? No.
No. Only good late.
Only late game. Helps with mana screw flood.
Under a very specific.
Every specific circumstances.
Yes. Nope. Doesn't help with mana screw flood.
Grok ability. No, I
guess it is like
medium.
Technically easy to get, not even
but
though,
it doesn't make sense
because you have to take it from the graveyard and put it in an exile. You have to put it on like, okay, yeah,
flavorful mildly because it's graveyard and it's Golgari. That's what I'll give it.
Okay, new and exciting and inventive. No,
no,
we've done way cooler things with the graveyard.
Dredge, hello,
replayable in future sets. We don't want it.
No,
future sets are like, no, thank you. Good and limited and constructed, neither.
No. Not broken. Oh, that's the final. It was not broken.
There we go.
It got 1 point. Wow, our list is turning out to be pretty good here.
Yeah. Companion.
Oh.
Oops.
Yeah, that's the note under companion. Oops. Yeah.
I mean, look, if we're going to go back and talk about, we can talk about this, like, good at any point in the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tons of those companions.
Wait, are we talking about new companion rules, current companion rules, or old companion rules?
Original. If we're talking about the original version, good at any point, yes.
Yes.
Exceptionally good. helps the mana screw flood? No.
Not really.
Does not actually.
It gives you a creature if you're
like
flooded.
Plenty of them do, yes. So I would say it does help a little bit.
A little
bit. On the flood side. Most of them had something that would mitigate flood.
Yeah.
Do you get it? I mean, like...
Kind of.
Yeah, it was actually pretty easy to get, right? Yeah. You had to like meet the restrictions.
It's in a weird.
It is in a weird zone.
Zone.
So it is like, it's complex, but it's not confusing.
No, it's not confusing.
So I think that it does check this box for me. Flavorful. It was cute.
Yep, very cute.
Cute as
heck. We get it. It's our friend.
Yes. New and exciting and inventive. Like, heck.
Yes.
Like, that's just mostly what I want to touch
A+.
On.
A+.
Is that we've talked a lot about companions and how we're like, if this is the price that we had to pay to make
we
sure
are willing to pay
that
it.
Stuff is still inventive, yes.
We will
pay the price of companions.
We will pay the price, yep.
Replayable in future sets. I hope with the modified rule that they do it again. I think so. I do like them. It did good and limited and constructed, yes.
Yep.
Busted in both. Not broken, no.
No.
Massively failed that test. Massively failed that test.
So it got some marks, middling marks, and one good mark, and one huge fat F.
One giant F. But companions, I do legitimately love.
Yes.
Because they reshaped deck building.
Exactly. Reshaped deck building and took the game in a new dimension.
Yes. It's very cool. And even if it did break the game big time for a while there.
At least they tried something,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
I like to think of a game as Magic as two-dimensional in its traditional form. And so I always am excited when a new set comes around and it's like, what about this thing that like brings it up? And then now we're playing on this level here and this level here.
Yeah.
We're playing 3D chess in Star Trek, basically.
It's
and
great.
Companions did that.
Yeah, for sure. We already talked about Cypher. What even happened there? We didn't know. It made no sense.
No.
It didn't. It wasn't good.
Not good.
Not good in any format.
A mechanic that people mention all the time, whether they love it or hate it, is Infect.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not personally a fan of Infect. Am I mad that it exists? Not really.
No. But it's just one of those things where it's like, it's kind of it lies in this interesting spot, right, where it did change the game, which in general we've been kind of positive,
It's made the game entirely different.
It's like, hey, scrap your life total. Your life total is now 10.
Yep.
But only some creatures deal damage to it.
Correct.
Which is very interesting and strange, but like also weird.
Maybe the list should include negative play experience.
Yeah.
Because I think for the opponent, sometimes
infect is a negative play experience.
It's pretty. The feel bads are pretty high.
Yeah. I, in call time, died to a Finn deck because they just had Finn and then they just had like Snakeskin Veil or whatever hex, gave something hexproof, 1 billion copies. And I could never in my life kill it. And then I died to infect damage.
Yeah.
That one I did give them props for, though.
To be able to build that in draft, I think is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
But
in general, people have had a very negative experience with Infect, and that's legitimate.
Especially people who play Modern.
Yeah, exactly.
We're looking at
you. And, like, if you've had that experience, like, we get it. You don't want to play that mechanic.
Might of Old Krosa, you're dead.
Yeah.
Ugh. I've lived that life, unfortunately.
Oh, man. I mean, if we're talking about busted mechanics... Phyrexian Mana.
Phyrexian Mana there. Is a great about one.
The Infect deck.
Yeah. Gitaxian Probe, even.
Ooh, yeah.
Pay 2 life. Now, this circumvents the rules of Magic once again.
Yes. By saying, like, your mana isn't your mana. Your life total is your mana.
Exactly.
Also.
Yeah. I think it's kind of cool.
It is very cool. And I would mind seeing it again. But kind of like, we didn't even touch on Delve.
Well, let me say this. It does exist. Right now in Strixhaven.
That's true.
With Tezzeret's Deal.
And it's not even... Yeah, we can't remember the name, so we've just been calling it Tezzeret's Deal.
Draw 2.
Tezzeret's Draw 2.
Play 3, pay 3, and 2 life.
Yeah. Or blue.
Yeah.
Like, I do like that it has flexibility, which is pretty great.
Yep.
I think I would like to see it kind of like Delve. I feel like Delve, when we saw it in Khans of Tarkir... hit a sweet spot where most of the cards were appropriately costed for having Delve. Rest in peace. I'll love you forever.
Yeah, I think Delve is a great mechanic. However, we had a little bit of a, we had a little stumble.
Only in Constructed.
Only in Constructed. That's
It wasn't Treasure Cruise's fault.
Treasure Cruise did nothing wrong.
It just wanted you to draw 3 cards. It was a beautiful boat.
Look, we loved it. It was our own little ancestral recall. Yes. For our time.
I still remember talking about how honest, and I still stand by this, I love that they made the mistake of Treasure Cruise, because what an experience to be able to play with such a busted card. Able to go back and cast an Ancestral Recall for players who are newer to the game, like us, who never got to have that experience of playing something like that and just being like, this is wildly broken.
Yes.
Being able to just be like in a draft set and be like, oops.
I just cast Ancestral Recall. Pretty fun.
It was a pretty amazing feeling.
Have you seen that new card that just got previewed? That's 5 colors of mana, and then you can make a token of a Black Lotus.
Yes.
I think that's another
cool
way that they're thinking about it. You know, like, I have the experience of playing Black Lotus kind of in this roundabout way.
Exactly. So, Delve is a cool mechanic.
Yeah, Delve, I think, is a lot of people's favorites list, unless, of course, they died a lot of times to Gurmag Angler in Modern or something.
Yes. Oh, Gurmag Angler.
Remember that, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
5/5 fish.
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 Yeah. Ooh,
on list of the bad ones.
Yes.
This one it's not even really bad, but this is just arguably the most forgettable mechanic of all time.
This is a fun category. What is the most forgettable?
And you can't, but the problem is, you are not going to be able to name any of the cards in it. Cypher, way up there on this list.
Couldn't name one.
And here's a new one, Adamant.
And this was not that long ago.
Mostly Adamant, I feel like, is at the top of the list because it wasn't that long ago. And
still legal, in fact.
Someone cast it against me in, like, Test of Wit or something like that. Like, one of the test, like, Strixhaven College ones. They were playing, like, Mono Red or something. So, point is, someone cast it against me for its Adamant cost, and I was like, I literally forgot that mechanic existed. I did not remember this.
Oh, that's great.
Right? And, like, it's kind of interesting because Adamant, it just doesn't check a lot of the boxes.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't big time fail.
No.
It was just fine.
It's just kind of like, okay. I mean, honestly, the flavor is a fail for me big time.
Yes.
That's a letter F.
Who cares?
I have no idea how that
They're
has
like
anything
so
to do.
They're so dedicated to that castle.
Sure.
That they are adamant
about it. Not buying it. Not buying it.
Okay. Well, I tried.
I mean, okay, you bumped it up to a D minus.
No, I didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to. Yeah, is it easy to understand? Sure. Is flavorful? No. New and exciting? No. Replayable? I hope not. Good and limited instructing? No. Not broken? Okay, not broken.
It's not broken. It was just like
with mana. No.
Just underwhelming.
Very underwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately the fate of many a mechanic, because honestly, you've got to invent all the wheel a lot of times.
I think about that sometimes. I'm like, I honestly can't imagine being part of R&D and every year being like, well, gotta invent something new. Because if you look at the history of magic, you're like, how?
All this stuff exists already?
Yes.
Sorry, everything's already been explored.
There's no new islands to find. Bummer.
But it's like, yeah, exactly. Like, think of how many mechanics come out in a year that are new. Now, they reuse some every set, of course.
Yeah.
But
it still is, like, very impressive to me. Especially when you get stuff that is so fun. And to be fair, you can look at like Fortel and you're like, this isn't really a quote unquote new mechanic because it's an iteration of Morph,
yes.
Really.
Yeah.
But like Sagas, if you look at Sagas, those are very recent. And you're like,
what is this?
I think kind of Learn is the same way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's been the aspect of getting something out of your sideboard before on cards. That's not new.
That's true.
But it is still like, yeah, that's pretty... pretty new.
Yeah, and the way that they formatted it goes perfectly in Strixhaven.
Oh, so great.
So there are 1,000,010 mechanics in Magic.
Yes.
We could have gone through
hundreds
and hundreds.
I'm sure that I'm going to like think of a favorite of mine that we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
I'm going to be like, what?
There's just so many.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's other fun ones like horsemanship, which is
great stuff.
Like a keyword, which is like flying.
Yeah. Except it can only be blocked by things with horsemanship.
So it's just different flying.
Because the only thing that can stop a horse is something else on
a horse. Accurate.
We all know that.
But yeah, if you have any favorite mechanics or least favorites that you're like, oh, I want you to talk about this. You didn't mention this for this. I love this one or whatever. Let us know. You can tweet at us at GLHF Magic or put in the comments below the YouTube video because we'd love to have a little discussion with you about mechanics over the years because
what's happening?
What a unique thing to Magic the Gathering.
It really is.
You know, just didn't exist before Magic came around.
Yeah. Well, mechanics have been around as long as cars, Maria.
Don't drive like my brother.
Hey, everybody. Ultra Pro.
Yeah, we're holding right now two of their cool Commander deck boxes.
Yes.
These are the Pro 100 deck boxes that have 100 sleeves.
Matching.
Match the Commander on the deck box.
The box fits 100 sleeve cards.
And you just get the sleeves and the box in one go.
Oh, so cool. These are from the Commander deck specifically from Strixhaven.
Yep.
So I've got Adrix and Nev twin casters.
And I've got Oscar, the Lorehold guy. I forget what his title is.
I love Oscar, the Lorehold guy.
The collector.
What a dude.
The reconstructor.
Oh. Yeah. Pretty great.
I know people really love the Commander decks. The precons are so strong, especially this set.
I love the precons.
I thought they were really good.
We talk about them all the time.
So if you get them, make sure to get the matching accoutrement to go with it.
You can be all in. And I've talked before about how, like, a couple of weeks ago, we got to send people, like, the full school set of, like, the playmat had the dragon.
Yep.
The sleeves had the dragon.
Okay.
The playmat had the command.
Okay.
And then the deck box was one Dean on one side, and then it, like, morphed into the other Dean on the other side.
Great.
So, like, if you're not into the commanders, but you're super into one of the schools, like, just go get that little, like, sweet package.
Yeah.
Of those three things and represent.
Hey, everybody, that's Oscar this episode of Good Luck High Five as Megan sings Oscar the Lorehold guy. like we said, we were recording this episode early, so next week there's not going to be an upkeep unless something explodes.
Wait, you're talking about this week. There wasn't an upkeep.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I guess that's irrelevant. It already happened. It already didn't happen because of the holidays.
Yes.
So we'll be back on track next week with upkeep and all that kind of stuff and thanking all the people who are patrons, including everyone who has the same name.
Yes.
I'm looking at you, Georges. Okay. George.
Wow, all
George
right.
1 and
Bruce
George 2.
Calling to, George's.
George.
George 1 and George 2.
Let's go.
All right. Maria.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say right here. Oh, we're doing a mailbag episode next week.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've got questions for us, throw them down in the comments so we can answer your questions on next week's mailbag episode.
We also tweeted this out, put it on Instagram and in our Discord. So you have a bunch of locations to ask your question. It can be about anything. Like one of them's like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? Great.
I love talking about ice cream.
And we will. You're just going to have to be in suspense, though, as to what
all
it is
day.
Until next episode.
I was about to say it, so I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah,
no,
save it. It can be magic related, whatever you want to know about anything. We'll answer it on our next episode. These mailbag episodes are so fun. So please participate and ask us something. It's a real fun time. Yeah. Thank you to everybody who's a patron, patreon.com/glhfmagic, to Card Kingdom, to Ultra Pro for being our amazing sponsors. And make sure you become a patron before the 19th of June because you can play in our 100 card standard tournament.
It's going to be a blast.
Because where else can you play in that? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. No, nowhere.
Your mom's house.
You can play the tournament at your mom's house. And even against your mom, you know? It could happen.
It could happen.